Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. The diagnosis of a chronic disease affects every facet of a person's daily lifestyle, including relationships with family, friends, self-image, and emotional and spiritual well-being. Sometimes the diagnosis can take years, and during that period of waiting, the patient struggles with unexplained symptoms that cause pain, uncertainty, and frustration. The diagnosis itself can generate resentment, fear, and hopelessness. My guest today, Elena Torsiello, is one person who struggled through the darkness of an elusive illness until the age of 40, when she was diagnosed with celiac disease. Elena is amazed at the doors of opportunity that would never have opened had it not been for this turn of events in her life. She has taken this experience and used it to influence others in a positive manner through her children's book about celiac disease, Willie Villy Meets Casey Cramps in Sprueville, which not only helps children understand their diagnosis, but serves as a guide for parents as well. Elena holds a BA in education and an MA in educational administration from Rider University in New Jersey. She is a retired English as a second language Spanish teacher who dedicated herself to teaching students of all ages and backgrounds from all over the world. Retirement has done nothing to slow her down, however. A Mary Kay consultant for 27 years, Elena is also an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. She and her husband, who supports her many dietary challenges, live in Little River, South Carolina, recently moved from New Jersey, and have been married for 37 years. Good morning and welcome to the show, Elena.
Oh, thanks, Patty. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm doing just fine today, Elena, and it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be on your show. Yeah,
but
definitely.
If I could chat with you for just a minute about, you're from South Carolina, but you originally lived in New Jersey for quite a while. And
I lived in New Jersey all my life.
In a sense, we were kind of neighbors because I grew up out on the South Shore of Long Island in New York.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We are neighbors.
So, and you have spent an entire career in the field of teaching. Now you are a writer, a speaker, you're an entrepreneur. Could you share with us what kind of childhood experiences do you remember that led you to choose the pursuits that you have in your life?
Well, I think I always wanted to be a teacher. You know, when I was in school, I had some really inspiring teachers. You know, I had one teacher, an English teacher. I think it all started when she said that we were going to have to present a lesson. And I thought that was so exciting, you know. The lesson was on Great Expectations, the novel, right? And so
I remember that well.
You know? Yeah, wasn't that right? I was so excited. I was getting all my materials together. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was in seventh grade, all right? But I was like, I'm going to be, you know, telling the class, you know, about this one chapter in the novel. And I remember, you know, getting, you know, the dittos done. She helped me do that too, you know, years ago when you had that blue machine that you turned.
Oh, goodness,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. So it was exciting, you're getting that together and teaching. I always like to teach people. I think it's just, you know, sometimes God just gives you gifts, you know?
And yes, he does.
In this, yeah, and we all have gifts, and, you know, we have to share it with the world. You know, otherwise we're being selfish. You know, we have to bless other people. And so I got really interested then, and then I took Spanish, and I had an awesome Spanish teacher that was just very animated, and she did, you know, she acted out all the different scenes in a story that we read, and I just got really inspired by that. And I said, you know, this is what I really need to do. I need to be a teacher. And so from seventh grade on, I fell in love with Spanish. And that was like, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. No matter what it is, I'm going to make a goal because I'm very goal-oriented. And I said, this is my goal. I am going to be a Spanish teacher no matter how hard the curriculum was going to be. I was going to do this. And I did. 33 years I've been an ESL Spanish teacher. But I was determined to do that. And that's what I did. And I always loved to write. Oh, my goodness. I love to write compositions. I would love to write, you know how people hate it to do research papers?
Yes.
Well, I love doing research papers. And I still love doing research papers. You know, and then even when I went to, like, grad school, I had to do papers, too. And my thing is that I can't keep them too short. You know, when the professor says, you know, 8 pages, no, I can't do that. I got to give you 10. So it's like, but, and then I became more interested in being an entrepreneur, you know, because God gave me gifts. You know, I've been with Mary Kay 27 years. I was a real estate agent for 28. I still have a real estate license. And I'm seeing, like, the business side of it and how, you know, like, God has blessed me in so many different areas as far as what I love to speak. And that actually comes from the teaching, you know, speaking in front of the class, you know. But I think we all have a message and that we have to get it out. And if we either have to get it out speaking or we have to get it out through a book or some way, you know, that we have. And so and being an entrepreneur, I just love helping people. Everything that I do, teaching is helping people, you know, being a speaker and writer, you know, help people. And being an entrepreneur, you have something that someone wants and they need in their lives. And so all those three things, you know, and I'm also passionate about cars. Because when I was a little girl, I used to play with cars and dump trucks, fire engines.
Oh, so did
I. Only had like, yeah. You did too? See that?
Oh, my goodness,
and
yes.
I had one doll. It was Chatty Cathy. And you pull the string. And it definitely, in a bar, I don't think I even had a Barbie. I don't even think I had a Barbie. And so I started to get passionate about cars. And as I got older, you know, I could identify different types of cars on the road, and I was reading Car and Driver where everybody else was reading a different kinds of magazines.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I got really passionate about that. And so today I used to sell cars for a little while. And today I actually do workshops to empower women, mostly women, because women do really get it taken advantage of. And there was an article written about how women are actually treated differently by Edmunds.com. And
yes.
They did a whole study on that. And they had 200 different studies done. And so I empower women through workshops, you know, either online or do, you know, speaking workshops where I help them come get the best deal and come out with their dream car from the beginning when they walk into the dealership until they leave. So I do a lot of different things in the entrepreneurial area. But I still love my teaching, and I get to teach women skincare and color cosmetics, which is great. So that's my childhood experiences, too. So.
It sounds like you have a very diverse repertoire of interests there, Elena, which is quite fascinating.
Yeah, I want to tell you one more thing. That they had this special program, like when I was in seventh grade. And so you could sign up for it in the summertime. And so what I basically did was I did 4 weeks of auto body, 4 weeks of auto mechanics.
Wow.
4 weeks of fixing appliances. So I fixed appliances from, like, I fixed my mother's coffee pot and my aunt's vacuum cleaner.
That's
and
funny.
I was the only girl in any of those classes. But you know what? It didn't matter. Because, you know, you're an individual. And what you like, you go
That's
after,
right.
you know? So,
yeah.
And you never know when you're going to use it, right? So.
Well, I also like what you said, mm-hmm. Elena, about how we have – people have certain needs, and if we have been given the ability to fill those needs, we more or less have an obligation and a responsibility to do that. That's part of our
yes.
our very makeup, I think, as a community, as a human race. It's just something that I think is inherent in us, and we need to respond to that call. And I think the people that do respond to that call are the ones that are the most happy, actually.
Right,
and,
right.
And
because you know you are you're
life.
Spreading you're helping people, and you know you get a good feeling for that. I always do whenever, like today, I was a greeter at the church for the first time, and it was awesome. It was awesome just meeting all these people and saying you know welcome to the church, have a blessed week. When they left, that was just incredible. You know,
yes,
just spread that cheer and that positiveness. You know,
exactly.
That people need.
Well, I understand that. Well,
no.
Elena, you were diagnosed with celiac disease when you were about 40 years old.
Yes.
So if you would, I know you have a lot to tell us. If you would share kind of your journey that led to that diagnosis, because I'm sure you went through an awful lot before that conclusion was finally drawn. So share with us what you're able to about, you know, how it was for you to be sick all the time and how you finally came about the diagnosis, and just kind of give us a rundown on what happened.
Yeah, it was a long journey. It was a long journey. I think it began when I was in first grade. You know,
oh my, that young,
because,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, I was always, you know, I never could gain any weight. Well, actually, when I was really younger than that, I was heavier. And then all of a sudden, in first grade, I start losing all this weight. And nobody understood what it really was, you know. And
sure.
I started to have some stomach issues. And this went on. I mean, this went on, like, through elementary school. And, you know, and then even high school. I mean, high school was really bad. I mean, you know, one of the things about celiac disease is that you don't develop as quickly as other children. Like, you have
right.
developmental, you know. And so, you know, I got my puberty was later, which that can happen to a lot of girls, you know. And,
sure.
I was wearing, they were talking about the curse. I had no idea what it was. Okay. And, you know, at that point, and then they were talking about, you know, then people, and then the girls were wearing bras and I wasn't, I was wearing undershirts because
yeah.
I was not developing, you know, and it even stunts your growth too. I didn't have that problem, but a lot of times there's problems with, you know, children growing. And so it was a long road and I was always sick and nobody knew what was wrong with me. And you went to the doctor and nobody could really tell you because, you know, the doctors only got like one paragraph way back then. And it was like, oh, you'll probably never see anybody with this, you know. So when I got into college, it really didn't do well at all. I mean, because I was eating all these foods that I wasn't supposed to be eating, pizza late at night, you know, and all of
mm-hmm.
these foods that had gluten in them. And I had no idea. I mean, I was just a college student, and I was eating pasta, and, you know, we're Italian. Oh, my God, we would have pasta and tuna, fish, you know, pasta and crab legs, you know, spaghetti and crab,
sure.
you know. And I was constantly sick. And my mother would go, oh, well, have some lady fingers and tea. Okay, that didn't help me. Or have some crackers and tea. Or if I would eat a tuna fish sandwich or I'd eat a peanut, I was starting to eat, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, saying maybe they'll help me. Oh, my God. Well, it wasn't the peanut butter and it wasn't the jelly. It was the bread.
It was the bread,
so
sure.
So we can never figure that out. So as I got
and
older.
You know what, Elena? Before we go any further, it might not be a bad idea for us to backtrack a little bit and explain to our audience what celiac disease is, because I don't think so, but there may be people that have never even heard of it. So let's kind of backtrack a little bit with a definition of what it is.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, celiac disease is an autoimmune disorder that affects 1 out of 133 people who are walking around with it and they don't even
wow.
know they have it. That's number one. And it affects about 3 million Americans, and 85% of the people are undiagnosed.
Goodness.
So, but what it is it's in your small intestine. You have these villi, okay? And they're like brush-like. They're brush-like. They look like brushes. And what they do,
kind of like little projections.
Right. And they absorb nutrients and minerals, okay? And that's how you get all your nutrition. But when you're a celiac, those villi are all deformed and flattened out. And then the surface area is not there to absorb nutrients and minerals like any other person. So now you have
okay.
a problem absorbing nutrients and minerals. And what happens is it's because the gluten is destroying the gluten in the white flour, in the wheat, oats, barley, or rye. So we cannot eat anything that has wheat, oats, barley, or rye in it because that has gliadin, which is part of the gluten, in the grain. And so what happens is it starts destroying. Even the little speck of it will get some people really sick. And so you have to know exactly what you're eating at all times, and you have to, you know, read labels and be very, very proactive, because there is no cure. You can only stay on a gluten-free diet. So that's basically what it is. But it also has a lot of ramifications, too. I don't know if you want me to go into them now, but there are a lot of, you know, ramifications from not being able to absorb nutrients and minerals. The calcium, like I have osteoporosis, severe osteoporosis, because I can't absorb calcium, you know. And so that comes from, you know, having the celiac disease. But you can grow back those villi. You just have to be very, very diligent and stay on a gluten-free diet, and you don't want to cheat. You always want to stay on a gluten-free diet, because it's not just a little diet. It's a lifetime diet.
Yes.
And so I hope that puts into perspective what it is. You know, it's found in wheat, oats, barley, and rye, so all white flour has it. So cookies or cakes or pies or all of that is going to have gluten in it. And like what happened with me, you know, like when they did diagnose me, it was like I couldn't figure out what it was. I mean, I went to my Mayo Clinic book and I looked up malabsorption syndrome, you know, and I said, oh, wow, I eat like 6,000 calories a day and I never gain any weight. It's like, can I have this? So I told the gastroenterologist, can I have this? And he says, oh, we'll do a blood test. And I went to Cancun and I had a great vacation. And I came back and he goes, oh, you have this thing called celiac disease. He goes, you have to go on a little diet. I'm thinking, I can go on a little diet. I'm cool with that. No, this isn't a little diet. This is a life-changing diet. And, you know, we tried to figure out for years what was wrong. You know, they told me that it was irritable bowel, which they tell everybody irritable bowel. It's like a blanket term when they don't know exactly what's going on with you when you have gastro problems. Mm-hmm. So you have irritable bowel. It's stress. It's a hyperacidic stomach. It's acid reflux. And then they even sent me to a psychiatrist. And he's like, what are you doing here? You don't need to be here. So we were reaching in all different areas. And finally, when he did take the test and he said, I have celiac disease, that's when I knew. And he said, and it was great to have a diagnosis. You know, all these years, you didn't know what you had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I start staying away from all kinds of things. I stayed away from peanut butter because I thought it was peanut butter. I stayed away from tuna fish because I thought it was tuna fish. I stayed away from French fries because I thought it was maybe greasy French fries. I start limiting all these foods in my life. And then it was like, well, now I know what I have to do. Because remember, knowledge is power, right?
Yes.
Knowledge is power. And so then I thought, okay, well, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, and, you know, I was like, oh, my God, I was a cake eater. I was a pie eater. I was a cookie eater. You know how people go out and drink alcohol? I would take you out for carrot cake and rice pudding. And
sure.
All of a sudden, now things had to change, you know. And I said, okay, well, God, I said, I'm going to leave this to God. I said, okay, if this is what I have to do, then this is what I'm going to do to survive. And just like I had a goal, you know, in my life to be a teacher, I'm like, okay, so now I'm going to have to do this. No matter what it is, we're going to have to do it. And the fact of the matter is, I said, you know what, God, you know, when a door closes, God opens a window, right?
Yes, that's
so
true.
So I said, okay, so this is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to learn how to eat this way. And so my gluten-free journey started 20 years ago. And I just started to, you know, it's a healthy diet. I mean, you know, back then, 20 years ago, the bread was horrible. You know, you had to toast it. There were only a few gluten-free foods out there. It was basically more meats and vegetables and fruits, you know?
Yeah.
And it just got to be like, well, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, but like, I only have one bread that I can eat, you know, and it was frozen solid. And then you had to put it in the toaster. And so there was not that much out there then. So but we've come a long, long way as far as the products now. Yeah. Well, because now it's a Hollywood fad and everybody thinks they're going to lose weight on this diet. You know. yeah, because you know, everybody thinks they're going to lose weight, you know, on the diet. Like, when it's Paltrow, she's on the diet. And then you have, like, Oprah Winfrey, she's doing the diet. But let me tell you something. This diet is only, should be only used, okay, or followed by people who have celiac disease or a gluten enteropathy, or you have some kind of, you know, sensitivity to gluten. Because you're not getting the vitamins, you're not getting the Bs, you're not getting the folate, you're not getting the vitamins, the minerals that you need, and therefore people think, oh, I'm going to go on a gluten-free diet and lose weight. Well, it's not the particular diet. It's the change of habits and how they're eating that's really helping them.
Because that addresses a particular, deficiency in your body.
Right, right. And so I always tell people, and Dr. Peter Green, that's the guru at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in New York, he wrote a book saying, you know, this is something that you don't just want to jump on. You know, first of all, it's very expensive, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
And, you know, my bread is $5.99 a loaf.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and bagels are like $6 for like three or four. So if you don't have to be on this diet, you know, then I would suggest that you don't, you know, enjoy yourself and eat what you want. But it's a healthy diet. And I have to tell you right now, there was a cure, which they are working on some kind of either pill now in 5 years or so. But if there was some kind of cure, I don't know if I would go back to the way I used to eat because it's so healthy for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's, you know, but there's a lot of different symptoms to celiac disease. I don't know if you want me to cover them to help others.
Sure, you can. You know, and also another question that came to mind, Elena.
Sure.
You know, just like my daughter has all of a sudden developed an allergy to peanut butter. So I have to be very careful about, like, being sure that I don't have cookies in a jar that has peanut butter cookies. You know, is there a cross-contamination issue with the gluten?
Oh, there's a big time. Yeah, there's a big, big cross-contamination issue. And you have to be very, very diligent about it because – well, even that, like the oats, they were saying that they can be cross-contaminated in the air.
Oh, gee.
So if there's a wheat field and an oat field together, they can be cross-contaminated. So they have to have like a separate area to grow oats. Isn't that interesting?
My. Yeah.
So, yes, there's definitely a cross-contamination issue. I always bring my toaster with me. I never use anybody else's toaster. In my house, we keep everything separate. My husband is Italian. He loves pasta, so he brings it into the house, you know.
Sure.
But we have our own pasta pots, you know, own pasta pots, our own sinks. We have our own sponges, our own wooden spoons, our own pots. So we try to keep it, our own colanders. Now, you don't have to be that severe, but that's the way I feel about it. You know what I mean? I really don't want to be dosed because we call that being dosed. If I go to your house, I can't use your mayonnaise jar. I don't know what you did with it. You might have put, like, breadcrumbs in there by accident.
Exactly.
So I have to – the peanut butter and the mayonnaise jars and all of that, everything has to be – and you don't know what's happening in the restaurants. Like, they can't –
oh, for sure.
Like,
definitely not.
bread on a grill, okay, and then they say they're going to clean it, you know, but you can't really – you know, that's not going to be good because – so you want to be careful because you don't know if they take a spoon and touch something that has gluten in it and then, you know, and then it's cross-contaminated and you don't know. And then maybe an hour later, you're sick as a dog. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
Yeah. So, and everybody has their own, you know, tolerance. I mean, how much, some people might be able to have a little bit of gluten, but you shouldn't have any because you really don't, you really want to grow back those villi and you want to get healthier. But the fact of the matter is cross contaminations are really big and you really got to watch. When I use somebody else's microwave, I take this plastic thing that I put on top and then it covers my food. So, or even in somebody's oven, you have to be really careful with cross contamination issues. So, yes, and restaurants will say that they sometimes have a separate area, but guess what? They'll tell you sometimes they don't. And you really have to be aware of cross-contamination issues. I'm glad you brought that up. It's really very important.
Yeah. So that's a major, major lifestyle change for a person who is diagnosed with this, Elena. I mean, it affects every relationship you have, literally with family, with friends, in social situations. I mean, it's something that,
yes,
that just kind of turns your life upside down.
Yes. One minute you're able to eat gluten and the next minute you'll never be able to eat it again. So, yeah.
Wow.
Well, my husband is very supportive. My husband,
I was
going to
say,
I'm not,
yeah.
Yeah.
When you said in the introduction, you had mentioned I had mentioned that your husband supports your many dietary challenges. No kidding.
Well, let me tell you, it's not just gluten. I'm dairy free. I'm allergic to all cow dairy. I'm caffeine free and I'm garlic free.
Oh my. Oh, and married
garlic.
To an Italian. Oh my goodness.
So yeah. And he was like roasting it roasting it, and I was going in the air. And then when I went to the doctor and I got the skin test done, I have digestive issues with garlic, right? But now,
yes,
I got this hacking, horrible choking cough. I have to turn the fans on and run upstairs when he's doing garlic. So yeah. So I deal with a lot of different allergies. I'm allergic to cherries and oranges and, you know, bay leaves and lentils and, you know, all that. But you know what? You have to just keep on going. You have to just,
yeah,
you know, keep on going and live your life, you know, and, you know, obstacles are just roadblocks, right? And you just have to go,
mm-hmm,
under them and over them and through them. And so it doesn't stop me from, you know, living my life. But yeah, my mother didn't really understand this in the beginning. You know, she's older. She was like, oh, maybe one day you'll get tired of that diet. See, she just didn't understand it. I think
get tired of it, huh?
You know, my friends are very supportive. I mean, I can go out and say, well, where can you eat? Wherever you can eat, we'll go.
Yeah.
And so that's really awesome. But my husband is awesome. I mean, he cooks gluten-free, dairy-free for me. He's like a gourmet cook now. He's learned, you know, he watches the Food Network and he adapts all the recipes for me. And so he's just awesome. I just tell him what I want. He makes all kinds of like sauces from like,
oh, that's pretty neat.
Cornstarch. Yeah. So,
wow.
And everybody's been very supportive with me. You know, if I go to their home and they understand, you know, I go to my sister's house for Thanksgiving and I would bring everything, the turkey, you know, the stuffing. My husband made me, stuffing and everything and all the vegetables and everything. So there's no cross-contamination issues. And, you know, I even bring my own dessert. When I go to a restaurant, I bring my own crackers, my own bread, my own dessert, and I also bring all my condiments. So I have everything there that I need, you know.
That you need.
Here's what I wanted to say. You have to be organized. Because in the morning, if I know I'm not going to be home at night, I have to make sure I have my breakfast. Well, I eat my breakfast. I have to have my lunch with me. And then,
right,
I even have to have my dinner with me.
Sure.
So it has a lot of organization that you have to do, you know.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Got to be prepared.
Wow.
But
this is quite fascinating,
you know.
Elena, because I mean, I had heard of people with celiac, but I just never really gave it much thought except that it was a modified diet type situation. But wow, I
mm-hmm.
mean, you have really given us some insight into what it's like to live that way.
Yeah. And traveling. Oh, my goodness. When I go to Dallas for the Mary Kay seminar, I always have to bring my suitcase with me as a carry-on. Because I can't take a chance that anything gets messed up there, you know, with my
sure.
food. So I always bring my toaster and my bread, and Jim makes turkey and chicken, and we put it on the plane. Of course, I always get stopped because they always have to check everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I have it all, and I bring it with me, and I bring, you know, I'm really into almond butter, so I bring that with me, and I have my rice milk with me. And so I just bring everything with me because you don't know what's going to happen when you get to certain places.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Elena, we're about halfway through our show, and at that time I usually take a break to call it kind of a station identification thing because we have some folks that come into a blog radio show after it has started, so they don't know
mm-hmm.
what it's about or who's talking. So I would like listeners to be aware that you are listening to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Today I am thrilled to have guest Elena Torsiello, who is talking to us about celiac disease. She was diagnosed with the disease back when she was 40 years old, and it's been a while now. And she has given us some amazing information that I didn't know at all about the disease and what it's like to live with it. Elena can be found online, of course, and rather than reel off some URLs here that nobody will remember, I'm going to refer you to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And on that website, you will find a link to this show, which is not only live, but it is also going to be an archive. And under her show, you will find a more information tab, and there you will find her Facebook page and her LinkedIn and her Twitter. She also wrote a book that we'll be talking about in a few minutes, and you'll find an Amazon buy link to that and her email address and her phone number. Elena is also a speaker, and she is more than willing to come and speak to your organization or whatever, so we're going to have all that information on the website for you. Again, I'd like to remind listeners that you can listen to all of the shows that we have broadcast to date at PattiSheene.com. Elena has been talking about the symptoms and how her life has, her diet and all that has been changed through the diagnosis of this disease. But for the next half of the show, we're going to talk about the opportunities that came to her that she would never have experienced had she not been diagnosed with the disease. So first of all, Elena, I'd like to ask you, how did the diagnosis affect your faith journey? I know you're a Christian, but did you greet this news with the resentment of why me, kind of some anger, or how did that affect your relationship with the Lord?
Well, you know, in the beginning it was like, you know, what am I going to do? Like I have no idea what to do. And I was like, I don't know if I was angry, but I got to the point where, like, why did this happen to me? But at least we knew what it was. We found out what the disease, you know, it was celiac disease.
Yes.
But I knew that, like I said, when God, you know, I mean, when the door closes, God's going to open the window. And I'm thinking, you know what, there's other people that are going through this, and they probably don't even know that they have celiac disease, too. And so in the beginning, I had to mourn all the food. Like, you know how you go through a mourning period? So I mourned all
yes.
the food, and I said, this is all poison to my life. And now there's going to be a whole new door opening, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have to, like, learn to bake, you know, and cook with, you know, different grains, like, you know, garbanzo bean flour and, you know, like, rice flour and sorghum flour, all these different grains that I really didn't know anything about. And so
mm-hmm.
God just opened up this whole door. Like, he opened up this door for me to, you know, like, to meet all these people, too, because I've met so many awesome people through support groups that I've attended, you know, and I got to, you know, and help other people, you know, that were newly diagnosed in the support group. I would go out and actually shop with them and show them what to do. You know, these are the things that you can eat. These are the things that you can't eat. These are the brands that you can have. You know, like Hellman's mayonnaise is gluten-free. And so people, like, were in the dark because nobody knew anything about it. And so I was able to bless a lot of people by helping them that way through support groups and, you know, and just talking to people about what celiac disease is. And, you know, and also, like, you know, a lot of people don't know that, you know, symptoms of celiac disease are bloating and gas and diarrhea, you know, bouts of diarrhea, then constipation, you know, fatigue and headaches and muscle cramps and joint pain and heartburn and indigestion and nausea and malnutrition, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to educate people that way because, you know, God, you know, gave me this and now I have to deal with it. And I'm just going to have to, you know, deal with it and tell other people about it too that might be suffering. So, you know, not only that, like autoimmune disorders like diabetes and thyroid condition and osteoporosis and neurological brain disorders and multiple sclerosis is also, you could probably be a celiac, or if you had a lot
wow.
of miscarriages, you might look into that, or schizophrenia or infertility and fibromyalgia and lupus. So there's so many different things that could be related to celiac disease. And I was, you know, I'm out there trying to, you know, educate people about that, you know. And
yes.
And so, you know, like there's a blood test, you know, you take by your doctor can give you a blood test and you might have like a false positive, you know, and if you get a false positive, then it may mean that you have celiac disease or you may not have it. So what
mm-hmm.
you need to do is go to a gastroenterologist and get what they call an endoscopy. And that's like the gold seal that tells you if you have it. But yeah, but so God spoke to me and said, you know, hey, you need to help people now because you always love to help people, you know. And so that's basically when I decided to, you know, I was a teacher for 33 years. And I said, you know, I'm having such a difficult time with this. And I'm going to bless other people, but I'm going to bless children and their parents even more. So I decided to write my book.
So tell us about your book.
Yeah, my book is Willy Willy Meets Casey Kranz in Spruville. And it's a book about celiac disease. And, you know, one day I was, like, sitting in a restaurant and with my husband, and he sort of gave me the character's name, Casey Kranz. The kid's named Casey, and he's got cramps. And so that's how we got the name. And then Willy Willy, you know, the villi in your stomach, in your small intestines. So we try to get something like Willy Willy. And I said, yeah, Willy Willy meets Casey Cramps. And then I was sitting in St. Martin, and I was looking out the window. And I said, you know what? I said, maybe we'll do Spruville. And the alien will come from planet Spruton. And that's how we got the whole thing together. And my friend, Eileen, you know, Rothstein, she's awesome. She's an artist. She never took an art lesson in her life. But she said to me, oh, I'll illustrate the book. So we decided to write the book. Now, it only took me 2 hours to write the book. Do you believe that?
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah, because I was supposed to meet with someone the next day, and she was supposed to meet with me about my book. And guess what? I had nothing written. So I said to God, okay, God, I'm going to lock myself in this room, and I'm going to write this book. And I wrote the book, and it took a year and a half to get it out because I self-published the book. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, leave and they get promoted, and then they don't know about your book anymore, and then you have to start with a new rep. And it took a year and a half, but it was the best thing I ever did. You know, my book is really educational. It explains what celiac disease is. You know, it's about Casey Kranz, who lives on, Willy Willy comes down and talks to Casey Kranz about his new diet and his new lifestyle, and that he has to be positive about it and the things that he can do and can't do. And I put a little humor in it. You know, I have a little fart bubble in there, you know, and she made all the sick villi. And it's basically a book about how to, you know, cope with a new diet and a new lifestyle. And, you know, and she did an awesome job on the illustrations, and that, you know, Willy Willy takes Casey Kranz into his spaceship and shows him all the different things that he can eat
and how
his life is going to change. Yeah. And so, and I'm not going to tell you the rest of the book because it's really awesome. And, but you know, kids always like aliens, right? So I thought,
sure. Oh yeah.
Alien sounds. Yeah. And on the back of the book, I have tips for parents because it's really important to know, you know, this is like something new. You know, a child grows up and they eat certain foods, and now you're telling them they can't eat those foods anymore, you know? And so now there's a big change there, and then the parent has to know, you know, what to do. You know, for instance, maybe a parent doesn't know that you know, medications that might have gluten in them, you know, like antibiotics. And so, you know, the doctor doesn't know if it's, you know, gluten-free. The pharmacist doesn't know if it's, you know, if it's gluten-free. I have to actually call the manufacturer when I get an antibiotic and ask them, is this gluten-free and dairy-free? And then they will go through it and they will tell me if it is. And sometimes they can't guarantee it. You know, I never forget the time when I waited on, I spent a whole hour in the drugstore finding a cough drop, calling all the companies to see if they were gluten-free. But now,
and that's something that the average person would never, ever in their wildest imagination think about, Elena.
Right.
It would never occur to me that a person would have to be concerned about that.
Yeah, because they have fillers in them, okay? Anything over the counter, you have to call to see if it's gluten-free. You know, I can't lick envelopes. because there's gluten. I can't lick stamps, you know?
Wow.
So there's like so many things. And whiteout. I was getting sick on whiteout and didn't know about whiteout. So I called the company and they said, yeah, the fumes. So let me tell you, there's
so
many
different goodness.
Things that gluten that you're not aware. But we love, you know, we started to get together, Eileen and I, and she would do the face painting and I would dress up as Chef Wee Wee in the book. And we have done a lot of things. We've done, events at the big expo in New Jersey. It's a gluten-free, allergen-free expo. And we did an event there and we had a table. And then we did an event with, ShopRite, the dietitian there. And then mm-hmm. we did a lot of different events for the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. They have a celiac education day, and we did events there. So we do a lot of events, you know, because we want to get the word out, you know.
Yes.
My mission in life is to help children understand and cope with this diet, help the parents cope with the diet and the lifestyle, and not have to be – and be positive about it, you know.
Yes.
Not be – you know, negative, where you'll never be able to go out to a restaurant again. No, you have to be proactive. You have to go to the manager. You have to talk to the manager and say, this is what I need. If I'm going to a wedding, I need to speak to them in advance, or any kind of party. I'm not going to stop living because this is what I have to deal with. And I want people to know that you can still have a positive, fulfilled life. God, you know, God gave me this. I'm going to still go out there and I'm going to, you know, spread the word and help people cope with this in a positive, optimistic way. And so this book is all about being optimistic and, you know, and just be, you have to go on a journey, right? So you might as well make it a positive journey. And
definitely,
that's how I look at the book. And I'm so excited, you know, that we're on the show that, you know, this month, because we're really celebrating National Celiac Awareness Day. And that's going to be September 13th. And what we do is we're honoring, it's actually Dr. Samuel Gee's birthday. And he was an English physician that diagnosed, actually came about, what happened was he published the first complete modern description of clinical picture of celiac disease and the importance of the diet and its control in 1888.
And that long ago, huh? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Senate passed a resolution declaring September 13th a National Celiac Awareness Day. And so this is like perfect because we're in September, you know?
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I'm really passionate. I'm really passionate about this because you can live a very healthy and happy, fulfilled life with celiac disease. There's no pill we take, there's no injections, and there's no medications that we can take. We are in control of how we feel through our diet. And so
yes.
if we stay on a gluten-free diet, on a strict gluten-free diet, and you don't cheat, then you're apt not to get that many autoimmune disorders, you know, the diabetes and all of that. And so it's really important that, you know, it's actually important to get diagnosed early in life because you're not apt to get all those autoimmune diseases that we get as we get older. So because you'll be healing yourself. And
yes.
So that's why the children are so important to me, you know. I taught all my life, you know, children, it's all about the children because they're going to be our next generation, you know. And when I leave this earth, this is my legacy. And what I've done between the dash when I was born and the dash when I leave this earth is my legacy. And I want it to be fulfilled by helping others, you know, through my God-given talents. So,
well, the thing is, Elena, if you're not aware of the diagnosis for years and years, you're just contributing to the problem.
Right.
You know,
I was,
you're just making yourself sicker when you think you're making yourself well, and you're just contributing to that disease process.
Yeah, and when I was coming home, like I would have to come home in the middle of the day as a teacher. I was so sick, and so my husband would say, "Well, let me make you some pasta, cheese, and butter, or butter,
oh,
pasta,
gee.
Cheese." And it was everything that I couldn't eat. I couldn't eat the pasta. I couldn't eat the cheese or the butter, right, or milk. And so everything that I was eating was just perpetuating. It was just going, and I was never getting better. I was never getting better until the diagnosis, until I figured this out and got the knowledge and the power to change my life to be a healthy person, you know, a healthier person. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, and that's, yeah, definitely true what you just said. So
definitely if I true. Might ask, Elena, what, I don't think we addressed this yet, what age group is your book geared to?
Oh, my, you know, you can, this book is, I would say, you know, like I've read to many students, like where I used to teach, and I've read to the first graders, second graders, third graders, you know, so I would say like in that area, like first through fourth grade or more.
Okay.
Some, even the older kids like it because it explains it so well, you know?
Yes.
So, and I've read to a lot of students, like on Dr. Seuss Day, I would dress up as Chef Wee Wee and read to them.
Oh,
so,
fun.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know? It's a lot of fun. You got to keep it fun for the kids. You know, I'm like a kid at heart, right? Have fun. Life is
absolutely
too, serious. You know?
And so, and that's the neat thing, Elena. And as you know, the premise of this show is how a person takes a dark time in their life and finds their way back to light. And
yeah.
I mean, this whole show, you have definitely demonstrated that because you have taken what can be a devastating diagnosis and just shed light on your own life and the lives of many other people with the way that you have handled it. I think it's amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But like I said, God does give us gifts, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I could sit in the corner and say, oh, poor me, right? And then what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. But, like, that's not helping other people. And you just, yeah. So I turned it around. I took it on the other opposite side. And I said, okay, so what can I do to bless the kids, the parents, and other people in this world? And so that's what I did. And hopefully that, you know, you'll get to read the book. It's, you know, and do the same thing and pass it on. I really want it to be passed on. So if there's anybody out there that has, like, you know, a relative, you know, a child in their family, like a grandchild that has a celiac disease or, you know, and like I said, I would be willing to speak to, you know, a group. It's not a problem. I'm going to be probably doing some online workshops too. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, didn't you carry that book even a little further into a different media venue? Did I understand that correctly?
Oh, yeah. God blessed me with that. Oh, that was a God moment.
Do share.
Oh, my goodness. I was doing a Mary Kay table because I've been a Mary Kay consultant for 27 years. And actually, you know, Mary Kay was a Christian woman. And my director actually had taken me, actually, through Mary Kay, I came to the Lord. And so, you know, because faith is very important in my life. But anyway, I was doing a Mary Kay table and there was a pastor there and he was speaking, you know, about children today and how, you know, there needs to be more responsibility. And I had my table there and I said, you know what? I'm going to go get my book. I said, I'm going to go put it out there. God was speaking to me. And so I put the book out. And he came over and I said, you know, are you a TV producer and a music producer? He said, yeah, I live in California. I said, well, I was, you know, I heard you speaking. I said, I would, you know, I wrote this children's book. I said, and I always wanted to make it into an animated movie. And he said, oh, really? And I gave him a copy. And I went to a friend's wedding. And when I got home, he emailed me. And he said, you know what? We can do this. He said, we can do it. And I said, okay. And so he was leaving to go back to New Jersey, and he was staying with someone. And I met him in my car, and we put the animated movie – well, he put the animated movie together, but I read and I did all the voices in my book. So – because I'm also a voice talent, I do that too. And
oh,
so
my goodness.
I read it, and we put it all together, and he made it into – you know, he made a trailer for me for my book, which is on my website, Elena, you know, Torsiello.com. And he made the animated movie, and it's 11 minutes long, and you can get it for $5 on my website, and kids love it, you know?
Oh, Wow, that is
so,
so neat.
Yeah, so that was a whole different, you know, area that I got a chance to put my book on a animated movie. So yeah, so it's out there.
You talk about opportunities that come along that you never would have dreamed of 30 years ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, if I never said to him, are you a TV producer and music producer, would you think about putting my, you know, would you be able to do an animated movie? That would never came into fruition. That was God speaking to me again, you know what I mean? So
saying, get over there and say your piece, woman. Good for you.
So,
you know,
yeah.
One other question that came to mind, Elaine, I wanted to backtrack a little bit. When you were a child and you were experiencing all of these symptoms, were you ever met kind of with, come off it. You're just trying to get out of doing the dishes.
Yeah.
You're trying to get out of going to school. Knock it off. Did you encounter that?
Yeah, I encountered that, you know, just all in your head. What's going on? There's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. You know, and I would be bullied, you know, too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of bullying out there. And, you know, especially with food allergies and all, you know. And the kids, you know, the kids, they want to share their food. But they don't let, you know, today they really don't allow the sharing anymore because of the food allergies.
Right.
But yeah. Oh, definitely. People say, oh, it's all in your head. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, it's just stress. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. Look. And the amazing thing that I will tell you is that I would eat a whole bunch of wheat, let's say for maybe a couple of weeks, right? And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'd have an attack. Boom. For no reason at all. I could be just talking to you right now and have a stomach attack. And this attack, and I still get them, but not as many, okay? But this attack was not just a couple of hours of misery, of pain and suffering, but days. It goes for days. It's 7 weeks, seven days before I get myself back into the groove again. So that means I have to start eating soup, a little bit of toast, you know, my bread, a little bit, like bringing myself back to where I was, and then I'll be okay. And if it does happen to me, rarely now, but it does happen. You know, and the pain is so excruciating. Now, I want to say one thing before, it's really important. Some people never have any gastro symptoms.
Really?
They never have any gastro, yes. So you don't have to have any gastro symptoms. You can have maybe Charlie horses or headaches or anything like that, and you can still be diagnosed with celiac disease. So now, guess what? It's called the silent killer because it's doing damage to your organs that you don't know. And so writes in his book, Dr. Peter Green, The Silent Killer. And so, yeah. And so it can be a silent killer. And so therefore, if your mother or your father or anybody in your first relatives have been diagnosed, you have a 20% chance or more of being a celiac. Even like a cousin or anything like that. And also Down syndrome. If you have any Down syndrome children, they need to be tested for celiac disease because they have a high percentage rate, like 20% too. So, you know what? Let me tell you something. I have been studying this disease for 20 years because it's part of my life. And so I have become so passionate about this because so many people out there are going through all these different symptoms and they could have celiac disease. And so that's why I'm really passionate about telling people, you know, well, tell me about what's going on with you. And then maybe saying, hey, maybe you need to get tested, you know, but definitely people all thought it was in my head. You know, you're just making this whole thing up. You know, I hear about that. I hear a lot of, when I hear that about allergies in general, that people don't understand how allergies, just like plain seasonal allergies can be really, you know, can turn your life upside down, and food allergies too. So that's why I try to educate people about allergies. That it's just, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Elaine, you have just given us a wealth of information in this hour. I'm just amazed, and I want to thank you so very much for that.
You're
because
welcome.
I think it's going to open the eyes of a lot of people. It sure did mine, because
yeah.
I had no idea the depth of this illness and its ramifications for a person who is diagnosed with it. So you have just really, you know, enlightened me in a lot of ways.
Well, I'm glad. Can I say a couple more things? Or
absolutely.
Okay. I just want to say that if you do have celiac disease, you should get into a support group, because it really did help me. There was a support group in Brick, New Jersey that really helped me, Seashore Celiacs. And she's awesome. Her name is Linda Pickett, but she really helped me. And they have a gluten-free picnic every year, which is awesome, because you can go and you don't have to worry about eating. And isn't that neat? And
yes.
I also want to talk about beyondceliac.org, which is an organization that used to be the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness. And the founder is Alice Bast, and she's really good. And it's a very informative website. It has a lot of the latest in research and recipes, and has great articles. And I also, on my website, I write articles on a blog I have about celiac disease.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah. So, but I just wanted to say, get involved with support group if you can. And also check out there's a lot of different websites that you can go on to get information. And so as long as you keep educating yourself, you know, you'll be able to live a positive and fulfilled life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, Elena, I just want to thank you so much. This has just really been a delightful conversation. I could probably talk to you for the next 2 hours. We both had
we
time,
could.
But I know we don't. But I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing all of this very valuable information with our listeners here on Step Into the Light. So. I'm
yeah,
so glad
thank
that
you
we
so much for having me.
We connected,
you know, God put us together for a reason, you know. We're always, you know, always trying to help people, and I love your show. Your show is just, you know, it's just so informative, and God stepping into the light is definitely what we need to do, right? So.
Yes, we do. May God bless you in your endeavors, and I'm going to keep track of you and check out your website, and I may give you a call now and then and again and see how you're doing. And so it's just been a delight to get to know you, Elena. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, everybody.
God bless you.
Take care. God bless.
You too. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Please go to my website at pattysheen.com. Go to Elena's website at Elena Torsiello. But like I said, for listeners, go to pattysheen.com and you will find the link to Elena's website there, as well as to her Facebook page and her Twitter account. And, Also, I'll put links up to the book where the book can be purchased and all those good things. And I'll probably also put some information. Elena sent me some notes about celiac disease, and I'll put some information up there about that she also shared. So please go to that website. And if there's any other shows that interest you, please feel free to listen to them. Until next time, may God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a